The latest excuse for the next massive money print has dropped. Officials are saying hantavirus is nothing to worry about yet.
I just think that's hilarious because it's even the parents pushing back, saying the government cannot raise my kids for me.
Because a lot of people, me included, also thought we were safe because we were wealthy. And that light switch went off overnight.
The latest excuse for the next massive money print has dropped. Officials are saying hantavirus is nothing to worry about yet, but that sounds a bit like 2 weeks to flatten the curve. Are we about to see an unprecedented explosion in the money supply? Hey, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Bitcoin Banter. Tony and Sophie are with me. Stick around to the end for our donkey of the week. It's a good one. Guys, let's jump right into this. So this is CNN. So just to be fully transparent, this is not like a great source of news. However, it's funny what they're reporting on. They're saying, hey, don't worry, it's not COVID-19, but let's avoid calm mongering, right? So that they don't want everyone to be too laid back about this, which is just, you know, funny coming from any mainstream news outlet, especially CNN. Sophie, I'd love to hear from you on, do you think this is like the next wave of the big print?
I mean, I'm immediately annoyed that they probably had several meetings over the term calm mongering. But yes, they probably also had several meetings about how they can keep printing more money. And if the war in Iran wasn't enough, then this will definitely do it. This isn't supposedly like some little flu that we had during COVID-19. This is like a serious illness that supposedly has a 40% mortality rate, and it's caused by Andean rats. And the cause of it was this bird watcher who went to a landfill, got on a cruise, and spread it to the entire boat. So, you know, was it planned? Maybe. It's unbelievable, though, that they are trying to dock this boat and get people off of it, you know, obviously to seek treatment. But, you know, the risk of it spreading, it almost seems like it's not accidental. It's definitely giving on purpose, planned, new world order, globalists trying to make this a thing again because they just made so much money from it the last time. Why not do it again?
I think what they're trying to do is they know they can't just get away with the ridiculous way that they approached COVID-19 anymore. But what they can do is they can ramp up the scare factor on, hey, don't worry, it's not COVID-19. It doesn't transmit as easily. But if you get it, you're dead. I don't know. I think we're going to see vaccines. I think we're going to see probably mandates for some people, for some countries, jurisdictions, companies, whatever. And I think we're going to see a lot of money printing to do something to negate the effects of this. But Tony, I'd love to hear your thoughts.
This is just, you know, a symptom of failing, you know, system. When everything is going to shit, what's the best, you know, solution? Is distract everyone with everything possible. So you have a war, now you have this, you know, tomorrow you'll have something else. You throw a million things at the world so that nobody really focuses on any one thing in particular and everybody's bouncing all over the place. But the common theme with all of them is to justify, you know, their inefficiencies and their excuses to either print more money, which they will, or to bring upon, you know, whatever dystopian, you know, creative ideas that they have. This is going to be another IQ test, as far as I'm concerned. You know, like, I mean, if enough people didn't learn through COVID, well, let's see how many more clowns are out there with you know, round two. Let's see how well we do this time around. I don't think they're going to be very successful because I genuinely believe or hope that there are enough folks that are not paying attention to this nonsense, because at this point, if you are, you really go need to get yourself checked out by a real doctor, because there's something really wrong at that point. But to me, all these headlines are expected. And I wouldn't be surprised, you know, in the coming weeks, we start hearing about more insane ideas to justify, you know, how these irrelevant and inefficient parasites are desperately trying to remain where they are, right? So it'll be interesting to see how this all plays out. But again, you don't have to care about any of this stuff. You simply need to get out of the way by no longer living in that world. And the only way you can do this is by disengaging from the money attached to that world. That way, whatever they do doesn't faze you. You know, you can watch all of this play out from the sidelines. So You save in a currency that they can't control, they can't debase, that none of these headlines can affect. And you just, you know, exist to help all of those that are going to come running panic to you for help, because of course they're not paying attention because you're a Looney Tune conspiracy theorist. But you know, when the fire reaches the front door, this is precisely what I'm expecting to happen.
So I'm actually going to briefly amend my statement a little bit. I could see this being the impetus for the big print. I think you need to save in Bitcoin, take self-custody. By the way, click the link below because we can help you take self-custody, do it the right way so you don't lose it, which we hear way too many stories about. I could also see this being something where it's like a little print. And for a little while, they dump some money into it to fix it. But then a month later, they need to distract us with something else. I mean, it was the Somali daycare centers. It was Iran. It's been like the Epstein files. It's been a new thing every month. I could see this also being just something that we pass by rather quickly. However, with pandemics, they tend to scare people, especially in the West, more than like a war in Iran, right? We don't have bombs dropping on us. Our lives aren't in imminent danger from something like a war. A pandemic is a great longer-term distraction if that's what they want it to be. So I'm open-minded on this. I don't know where they're headed. I think more money is going to be printed, though. Nothing stops this train, right? Alrighty, guys. Up next, speaking of printing money, Trump's proposed Golden Dome is estimated to cost $1.2 trillion. This is over 20 years, by the way, far more than he initially said. His initial estimate was a $175 billion price tag. For context, this is sort of mocked up after Israel's Iron Dome missile defense system. And it's going to be ground-based, space-based, detect, you know, intercept missiles. My personal quick bit of research indicated that the last time that a foreign missile or bomb landed on U.S. soil was 1942 from the Japanese in the Pacific Northwest. So this is an 80-year-old not problem for us. However, this is what Trump wants to do. Tony, as someone not living in the U.S., is this where you would want your money being allocated?
Man, this is what I was telling you earlier. Like, for me, this is all entertainment and expected because, you know, when the money is failing, you know, what else you're going to do? You milk it for everything that it's worth while you still can. So if you want to build a Star Wars like, you know, infrastructure because you believe you're going to be attacked by God knows who, maybe aliens, you know, maybe who knows what's coming your way in the US for to justify a $1.2 trillion gold dome of all things, right? Like it can't be a normal dome. It needs to be a gold dome so that, you know, it sparkles when, you know, the defenses come on. The lunacy and the ridiculousness, you know, behind these headlines, you know, at some point, like you really have to stop taking them seriously because, you know, if you remain focused on this insanity, you're going to go insane. So the best thing, again, to do is to walk away from this world because clearly, it's going to zero. All of these headlines, all of these actions, you know, cement that theory. There's no maybe. Like, what kind of insane project costs $1.2 trillion for something that you are highly unlikely to use? Unless, again, you know, we're talking about things we don't know about. Maybe there are alien invasions that are predicted in the near future. Like, who knows? But, you know, expect all this craziness.
I'll share a dad joke. The only artillery I'm concerned about is the debt bomb. I'm not really worried about physical bombs actually hitting the U.S. right now. I'm not a believer in like any credible threat to the United States militarily. I think if we leave everyone alone, I think China, Russia, all the boogeymen, I think they leave us alone as well. But Sophie, I'd love your take on this.
This is making me want to watch Austin Powers Goldmember and like watch that line where he's like, I love gold. Like that's literally what Donald Trump is giving right now. He's like eating his own skin saying we must build a golden iron dome. Like it's so pathetic. I don't even know why these people would print money to build this type of thing. Don't they know that if they can print all of this money, they should put their money into a hard asset or something that will actually retain value. So it doesn't even make sense, like on an incentive standpoint, for him to have this, because if he's never going to use it, if it's just some ridiculous show of, you know, fake power, then what is this really all about? Maybe he knows something that we don't. Maybe there is some sort of credible threat, maybe. But I just like this just all seems like a waste of money. Maybe this is a way to pump his own Bitcoin, knowing that if he prints more money, then, you know, this is good for his bags. But what do I know? I just think that it's completely ridiculous. And at this point, life is imitating art and it's a total joke.
It's completely absurd that the American people don't push back against this news. They are literally scamming the American people out of their money. Like they are.
We do, but there's nothing that we could do. Like the American people, after this election, and I'm gonna get a little bit political here and I might get in trouble. But after this election, we realized that no matter who you vote for, we are not in power. The American people are not in power. Clearly, there is an upper class, the Epstein class, if you will, who is in control. And those are the people who are in charge of the money. And there's nothing that us little plebs can really do about it unless we opt out. The only way that you can actually do something about it is if you opt out and if you take your Bitcoin into self-custody. It's the only hope that you have. And if that hope doesn't exist, then you know what? We're all screwed. Everybody should be paying very close attention because this is getting serious. And people are opening their eyes and they're realizing that it's not a political thing. It is a power dynamic situation. That is the root of the problem. And money is at the center of it.
Sophie, you nailed it. And this is why I always push back. I completely understand that this guy's saying the right things. Everyone loves Thomas Massie right now, right? Completely get it. I don't assume he's operating in good faith because he's a politician, but let's give him the benefit of the doubt. If he became president tomorrow and you've still got 535 members of Congress, do we really think that it's going to change suddenly because we have a better, you know, president operating in good faith? Absolutely not. Like you still have the judicial system. You have lifetime appointments for judges. There are so many layers of the nonsense that just having a guy want to do the right thing is going to get us nowhere.
You have donors
bottom up.
Even more powerful than all of that. You simply have donors. And people thought that President Trump wasn't going to be able to be bought. And clearly we were all wrong. The donors bought him. They figured it out. You know, they made a deal and he took the money. We thought that was the whole point of us voting for Trump, is that he wouldn't take the money because he's already a billionaire. How much more could you possibly want?
More.
You know, more is more. So
there's no happy ending to a system that was created to steal, right? Like, I mean, I don't know what people are fantasizing about here. Like, this doesn't end any other way. They are blatantly stealing from you and ripping you off and ensuring that you are like completely obliterated purchasing power wise.
Yeah, you got it. That's the system in which we find ourselves. And to Sophie's point, the only option is to opt out.
Opt out, 100%.
If you're tuned in, we really appreciate being here. Make sure you smash the like button, subscribe to the channel. We would really appreciate that. And guys, let's continue here with some news out of India. So the Prime Minister Modi is appealing to his citizens to stop buying gold and stop traveling outside of the country. I was sort of baffled as to why this would be the case. I didn't know that prime ministers often gave financial advice. Turns out, you know, in my 10-year-old explanation from chat is that they need these foreign exchange reserves. They need dollars to import energy. They need lots of energy. It's a big country, massive population, and people are buying gold and traveling with dollars because they don't trust the rupee. And he's saying, hey, just save in dollars. That's where we're at. Sounds to me like maybe they've got a little bit of a currency crisis on their hands. Tony, you know something about that. I'd love your reaction to this particular case.
Again, man, it's a corrupt, inefficient bunch of parasites that are going after the people to fund their inefficiencies. You know, they're literally telling people, don't use emergency money to better and save your lives. Give it to us so we can continue making your lives even more miserable, funding our own failures. And we just sit there remaining, you know, giving you all of this bad advice, you know, decade after decade. And, you know, this will continue going on as long as the people believe these clowns. And so why things take so long to change is because most folks, most regular folks, don't listen to these messages. You know, like they believe that if the government says something, they have to comply, which is insane, because they genuinely believe this is a form of authority that cannot be questioned. And, you know, of course, those in abusive positions take advantage of this naivety and ignorance and which is why, you know, these people's lives never improve or rarely improve. And those who do improve are those, you know, that have earplugs and stop listening to this garbage and go the complete opposite direction of whatever it is that these parasites are spewing. So I don't know how this ends for India, but, you know, as an Indian citizen, I would highly recommend you save yourself and ignore these people.
Yeah, not financial advice, but if your government's telling you not to buy a particular asset, that would be my cue to buy a particular asset. Now, I prefer the digital version. That is a much improved use case for gold in terms of Bitcoin's ability to be moved, you know, permissionlessly across borders, no security insurance, that kind of thing. But I think hard assets are an important point when you're in a situation where the government's saying, don't buy hard assets, save in fiat currency. Sophie, what's your take?
I think that the signal here is, you know, more than the hard assets theory, it's the fact that energy is becoming the central point of currency and value in today's society. I think that's why we're going to war with Iran. I think that's why we arrested President Maduro and we're going to basically make Venezuela a 51st state. I think that's why the Prime Minister of India is telling people to save in dollars because he wants to use dollars to not buy gold, but to hoard energy, to get as many reserves of energy as possible, be that in oil or, you know, nuclear energy or what have you. At this point, gold is kind of just like a shiny object in like luxury world. It's not really like providing any practical value. And maybe that's why Trump is investing in the Golden Dome, because he knows that eventually the countries that have the most amount of energy will have the most amount of nuclear power and will basically, like, that is going to probably be the future of power in the global, the world. So the way that Bitcoin centers itself in that is that it needs power to function, right? You need power to mine Bitcoin. And it is the literal digital manifestation of that energy being saved. The writing is on the wall. Money is being printed. Gold is on its way out. And the world is shifting towards an energy-centric model, where the market is valuing energy more than anything in the world right now. And so if you pay close attention to that, and if you understand how Bitcoin works, you're just understanding more and more every day why it's valuable and why you need to be taking it into self-custody. Because if you leave it on an exchange, that just makes you vulnerable for it to be stolen and for governments to use it to control you. So pay attention, people, pay attention.
Yeah, I think you've got it. All righty, guys, we've been making fun of Europe for quite some time, specifically some of these age verification requirements that they have for using internet, social media. So this is USA Today, another fantastic news source. However, this is hilarious. UK kids are bypassing age checks with fake facial hair. Like, Tony, I know you always say this, you're bearish on human IQ, but I am bullish on human ingenuity. Even dumb people can find workarounds. And we've got a bunch of kids out here who are accessing the internet because they put on a fake mustache or something. What is your reaction to this, man?
This is great news, man. I mean, this is how you put an end to absurdity, is that you mock it publicly and you continue doing so until it just completely disintegrates. You know, when you start ruining somebody's party, you know, there's going to be a bunch of people that are going to, you know, draw a line in the sand and make you look like a fool and push back. I mean, this has happened so many times, especially in the tech world, which is why, you know, I crack up whenever I hear politicians talk about regulations around AI and what have you. You can't regulate this stuff, my friend. You know, whether you're delusional enough to believe that you're somehow a superpower that no one's, you know, heard of before, you cannot stop learning algorithms, open source learning algorithms. So in the same way they thought they stopped peer-to-peer music sharing by shutting down Napster, you know, it completely blew up in their face by pushing the creation of torrents, right? And now you fast forward to a world of AI where they're trying to regulate it so that it fits their dystopian version of it. Well, of course, kids who are, you know, born into the AI world have a lot more, native existence in that world, and will have a million ways around the nonsense that these non-technical farts, are trying to, impose on everyone. So very good news, very bullish news. Keep mocking these fools, and let's see how far this goes, man. There are way more intelligent people that understand the tech than there are those that are trying to ruin everybody's life with it.
I love it, man. I have a lot of faith in the next generation because of these sorts of stories. Sophie, what do you think?
You know, I'm so proud of this generation. Younger me would have been laughing. I mean, I am laughing at this because I grew up in Miami and we grew up around clubs and nightlife. And at 15 years old, we did everything that we could to try to get into these nightclubs, including, I guess the physical version of this. Everybody I knew had a fake ID to try to get into the clubs and go partying and buy alcohol and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Some parents knew, some parents didn't. So I'm reading this story and it's literally the exact same thing. It says here that 26% of parents who participated in the survey admitted to allowing their children to bypass age checks, with 17% who said they actively helped their kids. I just think that's hilarious because it's even the parents pushing back, saying the government cannot raise my kids for me. I am going to make that choice myself. I have the freedom to say what is okay and what is not. And that should never be left to the state. And so I'm very, very happy to know that the kids will be all right and they are fighting back against the system, because the reality is that this is just the beginning. They say all the road to hell is paved with good intentions. The good intention is, we're trying to keep your kids safe from harmful content online because of the bullying and the porn and the bad things that could infect your child's mind. When in reality, they are trying to use that same mechanism to infect your child's minds. So you need to, I'm proud of these kids. I'm proud of the parents. You got to fight back against these people who aren't even your family. They don't care about you. They're trying to take your money and take control of your mind and your body. So, keep doing you. I love this story as well.
Alrighty, guys, last story before Donkey of the Week. So stick around for that. Make sure you smash the like button and subscribe. So we have France opening a formal probe into a teenage suspect in a massive ID data breach. So it says that the Paris prosecutor's office is opening an investigation into a 15-year-old suspected of having hacked the country's ID agency and trying to sell data of millions of French people on the dark web this month. So, first of all, more ingenious children. I am not cheering on someone selling people's information to the dark web. I'm laughing that a 15-year-old was able to do this. That's kind of the kicker here. This is what you expect when you've got a massive honeypot of consumer information, of personal information, of all of your citizens. You're going to have people attack it. The fact that a 15-year-old kid, and I know there's some really smart ones out there, very technically competent, I understand that, but a 15-year-old kid, this wasn't North Korea, nation state sponsored attack. This is a 15-year-old kid got in. That's incredibly concerning. It's kill your customer, right? KYC. Sophie, what's your reaction to all of this?
I mean, yeah, you're right. Not great that he's, putting everyone's information out there. That's a form of doxing. That's not cool. But at the same time, it's kind of impressive. It's kind of impressive. I'm not going to lie, especially because he's 15 and because I think that they're doing it just to show you that they can. And to show you that, it's dangerous to put your personal information out there and that you should take your privacy very seriously. The fact that he's doing this makes the case for privacy, right? It makes the case for platforms like Samurai Wallet to exist, because if they can do this with a government level authority, they can look into your transactions. They can look and see how much Bitcoin you have if you fill out a KYC, if you leave your Bitcoin on exchanges. It's good that this is happening because it attacks the system and it shows it for what it is. It uses sunlight as the best disinfectant. So, again, the kids are going to be all right, man. I'm proud of these kids.
Bullish on Gen Z. Tony, what do you think?
Yeah, man, I completely agree with Sophie. This is amazing news, man. I mean, and we need a lot more of it. Not because, people's information is being leaked. It's because it takes stories like this and extremities like this to get the masses to, you know, to snap out of that coma, that they can trust governments and take their words, you know, as, you know, that's how it's supposed to be. These people have no tech background. These people build these infrastructures without any good intentions. They build them to, you know, to create that dystopian surveillance state. And of course, you combine that with a lack of skills and you end up with a disaster like this one. And people born into, you know, the digital world, into the AI world, you know, they're going to poke fun at you day and night. It's like, you know, like trying to get into a club when you tell someone you can't do it. They're going to find a million ways to get around the fact that you told them they couldn't do it just to prove you wrong, right? And so this is just a perfect example of this. And I don't think it's going to be the last one. What concerns me about this is not like the those benign privacy leaks. It's more about the big ones, you know, like, for example, you know, those people that have, you know, a lot of Bitcoin on exchanges, for example, or that are trusting Bitcoin with third-party institutions that also are required to KYC. How well is that data protected? Is it as good as how the French government protects its stuff? You know, or, you know, like what's going to happen there? That's more dangerous because this is directly connected to something that we know has generational value. Right? Like, okay, you can get somebody's name and address, you know, on the dark web for whatever. But if that name and address is linked to a Bitcoin wallet, now that's a whole different level of treasure, right? And so what happens then? This is why the attention to the old ways is important. People need to stop voluntarily complying with rules that are, you know, being weaponized against them. KYC was never for your protection. It was to eventually build the cage to keep you in it. And now that cage is falling apart, thankfully, because there are enough people waking up every single day with the skill set that is required to destroy it. And I hope this continues, because this is going to force the humanity and more people to come up with tools that make this dystopian nightmare impossible. Congratulations to that teenager who did this. And I'm sure he's not going to go to, or he or she is not going to go to jail. In the past, when teenagers were arrested for things like this, they were given a job, because there's a lot more value in using their intelligence, you know, to try to do something than to put them away.
Yeah, he's going to be working for the state soon. My reminder for everyone is, if you think that the government has a good idea, number one, you're wrong. And number two, their execution is going to be terrible. So it just doesn't matter anyway. And I think this is a great highlight of that. Alrighty, guys, Donkey of the Week is here. So this is a great tweet from Tomer Strohlite. He's retweeting Leonidas of Port.io. He said how it started, how it's going. So originally, Leonidas had said that if Luke Dash Jr. and the team didn't withdraw BIP 110, they were going to unleash a large-scale decentralized swarm of AI agents to attack the Bitcoin network with a tsunami of spam, the likes of which your nodes have never seen before. And that was just a few months ago. That was that was in March. And then just the other day, he tweeted, Leonidas tweeted again, we're shutting down Ord.io and ZapApp at the end of the month. Basically, they ran out of money and didn't work out. So Tomer got a kick out of that. I do too. And Sophie, I'd love to hear your take.
I think the rest of the tweet is really the funny part, where he goes, I'm proud that we organically built two respected crypto brands that never farmed anyone or launched a token. Like, these people are so ridiculous. And it also goes to show that, you know, Bitcoin was built in such a way to drive people's actions by their incentives. And so I know why they ran out of money. They ran out of money probably paying the fees, right? I'm so like technologically uninformed, by the way. Like, if I'm making a mistake here, just please correct me. But right, like, if you're gonna put images and JPEGs and whatever on the blockchain, don't you have to pay a fee for that?
You've got to pay a transaction fee,
and right, so
you run out of VC money or your own or whatever.
So who's gonna pay for that? You know what I'm saying? Like, they just like massively underestimated the people's will to want to do something like this. And they thought it was a bigger deal than it actually was. And I think eventually that is what will happen with ordinals and with like the JPEGs and the spam and all of that stuff. Like eventually people will be disincentivized from doing that sort of stuff naturally, you know, and we don't have to like make any changes to the code or whatever, like with the core versus nots argument. This is a good example of how it just like kind of self-corrected by following the incentives that Bitcoin provides.
Absolutely. Tony, what do you think?
Well, thank God Satoshi accounted for retards, you know, when he, when he built Bitcoin. I don't think these folks really, you know, understand the seriousness of why Bitcoin exists. I mean, for these geeks, it's like a fun project to experiment with and to try to do something, right? But Bitcoin is a life-saving freedom tool for millions of folks. You know, clearly these people have not experienced collapse. They have never been on the other side of a failing economy, of a weaponized currency. These people are just, you know, having fun in their basements, thinking, you know, life is like roses and daisies. Thankfully, there's enough people out there, you know, that fight this. You know, spam never belonged on the Bitcoin blockchain. Just because you could do something doesn't mean you should. And no one should be supporting garbage on a blockchain that was literally created to save the world from a nightmare. And so it came, it was a fad, they got some attention, and now it died. You know, eventually, you know, garbage ends up at the curb. What do you want me to tell you? Let's move on now and focus on more useful and intelligent things, like learning how to self-custody your money, like unlearning the lies that you need a third party to protect it, like focusing on the meaningless prices and charts when it comes to Bitcoin, because it has nothing to do with that world. It's a complete exit, right? So the dollar value of Bitcoin is not how you measure how rich or poor you are. You measure how rich you are by the ability to transact whenever you want without anybody's permission. That's being rich, right? That's actually being free, because otherwise all you are is permissioned, right? Like having access to your money is not the same thing as owning it. And that access can be switched off. So that delusion of the wealthier I am, the safer I am is insane, because a lot of people, me included, also thought we were safe because we were wealthy. And that light switch went off overnight. So owning your money is the only way you are truly wealthy, because, you know, that's how you restore access to your time, right? You're no longer dependent on some lunatic's decision on whether you can or cannot, you know, use what you've, you know, worked your entire life to save.
Another mic drop from Tony. If you need help taking your Bitcoin into proper self-custody, click the link below. And congrats to Leonidas for being our donkey of the week. Tony, Sophie, it's been a blast hanging out with you. Sophie, why don't you give a quick handoff? Tell people where they can find you.
Yeah, absolutely. You guys can find me at Simply Bitcoin's YouTube channel or at Internet Sophie on X. For me personally, I do a show called Satoshi twice a week, once on Rumble and once on YouTube. So check it out and subscribe to our channel.
Awesome. And two last comments. If you've tuned in, we appreciate you being here. Subscribe to our newsletter as well. We have an awesome weekly newsletter that goes out every Sunday. Fantastic resource. Lots of funny memes. You will love it. You're missing out if you're not already subscribed. And do me a favor, like, subscribe to the channel, share it with someone who you think might be interested. We would really appreciate you helping us feed the algorithm. Tony, Sophie, I've had a blast as always. I look forward to catching up with you guys next week.
Thanks, guys. This was awesome.
Bye, guys.